Congressman Mike Boss is on the other end of the line. Mike, morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Just so you know, there's a very big chance of big snow here.
Yes,
so.
That's what I read, another nor'easter. Everybody's really excited. You're going, oh, goody. Yeah, because we just got the last one cleared away. You know, Mike, I think it would be easy to believe that there's a misconception among people who are not in the know that right now in Washington, all anybody does is sit around and talk about Donald Trump. All they do is talk about the FISA court, and all they talk about is Mueller. But the fact is there are a lot of other things being done, which is, I think, a good opportunity for us to take up one or two of those items. Now, we all know about FISA courts and all the stuff and Russia and collusion and all these things, right? But, you know,
listen to it, but they're not my committee of jurisdiction. We're focusing on many, many other issues.
And for instance, school safety bill. Bipartisan support here, right? There's bipartisan support.
It was bipartisan, and what a lot of people don't realize, not only was it bipartisan, there were about five or six, including my bill, that was already out there before this most recent school shooting occurred, trying to move forward. Now, what we were able to do was put all of those bills together, whether it was Republican sponsorship or Democrat sponsorship, and many of those, whether it was a Republican lead or a Democrat lead, had multiple sponsorships there. We were able to put a bipartisan bill together that would deal with true school safety, dealing with everything from providing education, training for our teachers, as well as security systems in place, funding to the tune of $80 million in ability for technology to be invested in the schools, to use with matching school district funds, training for both mental health training and how to observe what a student might be looking and the reaction that they have and everything like that, as well as early intervention and making sure our schools are safe. I've said this over and over again because you know where I come from as a firefighter. We can protect our schools from fire. We need to be able to protect our schools from gunfire. I mean, that is what we have to do. We move forward with the bill. It is over toward in the Senate now. We're hoping, you know, if they can improve on it, send it back to us. We're more than willing to do that with them. We're hoping they take it up very, very quickly.
All right. Now, you have to understand that when Mike said since the most recent shooting, he was talking about Florida as opposed to today's shooting in Maryland.
Correct.
Which we're just learning about now. By the way, on that subject, I have just a couple of headlines here that are saying it's now contained. And it's Great Mills High School in Maryland, and it's locked down, contained is the term they're using there right now. You know, once upon a time, you know, a guy told me, he says, all politics are local. And I said, boy, I don't know about that, especially when it comes to D.C. But if I was going to take that argument and use it in your district, I'd say, tariffs on steel.
Yep, you betcha. We, you know, we it is a very, understand what this was. This was the use of what's known as 232, which is a provision that the executive branch has under the guidance of the Department of Commerce. The Department of Commerce secretary gives a report, which he did, showing where it is that we may have a problem with whatever this item is. In this case, it's steel, where we have a shortage that would cause us to be in a situation where the homeland security and or national security can be threatened by not having a certain amount of this particular item, one or the other. In our case, the steel that's used, out of Granite City is used for the tubing that we use to not only bring up, but also excavate for our oil production and our oil and gas production. If we are dependent on Korea only, that's a very dangerous place to be if something would break out in the world. Likewise, China produces there's only one plant left in the United States that produces the wire that goes inside of the transformers that we use in our power grid. If all of a sudden we would get rid of that plant, none. Everything would come from all of the wire that does that would come from China. Could you imagine being obligated to China if something would break out on that? So that was the reason for the tariffs being put in place. Then what you get is you get a lot of people screaming, oh, no, there'll be a trade war. No, if you look at the overall product in comparison, our trade partners, look, they, for them to automatically start responding, they have to go through the WTO, the World Trade Organization, to start lifting those tariffs and everything like that. So the argument is minimal at best, but there are a lot of people that scream the sky is falling. Then we have to look. The bright side is it put 500 people back to work in Granite City. Matter of fact, those of us that know Granite City and everything like that, about 2 weeks ago, a good friend of mine called me on Thursday and said, hey, I just want to let you know Granite City is smelling like Granite City again. That's because they were firing up that furnace. And that smell is pretty identifiable in Granite City, and it's something that has been there since 1880, that smell, and the use of those plants. So it is a positive thing, Tom. And I still got to work with our farmers and everything like that to make sure that their markets are there. We're doing that, and I was talking with the Secretary of Ag from the state of Illinois, who, if you remember, I served with in the Illinois legislature, who said he believed what is going on as far as NAFTA with Canada and Mexico is actually even more beneficial for the markets for our agribusinesses. But we still need to work to make sure that as we move forward, that those other foreign markets are left open to them as well.
You know, it's interesting because when the steel mill shut down there was about 1,600 jobs at this time, 500 coming back. It'd be nice to see the other, 1,000 back.
Actually, what you've got right now is you've got 1,100. By the time these 500 come back, you'll have 1,100 back because there's an offline mill that they have been working that it had about 600 people working there, 500 to 600 people. So we're going to be in the neighborhood of between 900 and 1,100 people. If the markets do what we're hoping they're going to do under these tariffs, they will be firing up the second burner. I don't know when that will be, but if they do, that will put everybody back to work, plus a few more.
You know, it's interesting, this national security aspect. I did a lot of research on this, and this has been a number of years back, so I may be a little bit more vague than I would like. In contemporary reference, I did this with the help of Jack DeBee from Penn Aluminum in Murfreesboro, who was just a brilliant guy. I really enjoyed his company when he was here in Southern Illinois. And we were talking about this in respect to minerals, that there are minerals that are strategically important. And he says one of those is fluorspar that used to be mined here in Southern Illinois, which is required to make aluminum. And, at that time, there were no fluorspar mines in North America, even though it was considered a strategic mineral essential for this country's defense. But we got it out of Mexico.
Right.
There are a lot of items like this.
That's what a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
They just don't realize.
They're out of jobs here in Southern Illinois mining fluorspar because they went to Mexico, while at the same time, aluminum, because he and I used to argue, Jack and I, whether there's enough aluminum on the planet because you can recycle it. And I'm like, no, through attrition, there's always going to be a need for production. He says, you win the prize. Right. Right?
So anytime you reheat it, you lose a certain portion of it. Yeah.
Now, there is another issue, by the way, when it comes to steel tariffs, and I'd like your help on this, that there's an aspect to the tariff on steel and aluminum, and that is that it's reciprocal. Some of the countries that are complaining already placed tariffs on U.S. imports of steel and aluminum.
Yeah, that's what – not some, all. All, Tom. Let's be clear. When so each one of these nations who are shipping, they want zero. Okay, even though they might have a 10% or a 20% or a heavier percent tariff whenever our products are moved in to their country. And so it amazes me, and I got, I don't know if you saw it or not, I was on Greta Van Sutton's show the other day, and I kind of got into a situation where I thought I was going to be talking directly to her, but no, I had to debate a world economist on this issue. And by the time it was said and done, he was talking protectionism for European countries in the European Union and all of this, and trying to argue that with us whenever the reality is that they charge a tariff to us and we don't charge any tariff to them, but yet he wants to say that's fair. Let's remember why we did this stuff originally. We did it originally because we were trying to build up the European after the Second World War. We put that tariff in place, but we never took it off. And that's what's really, they put their tariffs in place. We took ours off so they could trade with us. And then every deal since then has had a little bit of a tweak where we weren't quite getting even. And now we've built their markets up. And it's time we went back to a fair trade instead of a free trade. We want free trade, but it needs to be fair trade.
It seems very often that when I look at this, and I don't know whether it's because I'm in the bottle and I'm a, what you would call a proud American, that I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys don't like it when your assault victim fights back, do you? I often get that sense that, you know, we want to do things to you, and why don't you lay down and take it? And I'm like, because we're Americans. I've always been kind of bothered. I'm running out of time. So, the clock is ticking on Friday, and I'm reading more and more people are concerned about the federal debt. We've reached new record highs, and that what we will be doing with our gross domestic product by 2020 or 2025, that we could see substantial 14% of our entire budget go to debt service if we don't get this under control on Friday, and we're looking at a big number here.
The best way to get it under control is what we've done with tax reform, and that is put people back to work, encourage investment, bring home foreign investments to bring them back on U.S. soil so that our GDP grows at a rapid rate. If it grows at a rapid rate, we have a new person that is in there now that says we may see as much as 5. That's a pretty radical statement. But that, when I heard that the other day, I thought, wow, that would be because, you know, about a 1.2 offsets what we did in tax reform. And then anything above that generates a very, very, very positive as we can move towards the balanced budget. And then not only for the balanced budget, but then debt reduction.
So, Friday, what do you think? Do you think we'll push the can down the road or something will get done more definitive?
No, we're going to have we will pass a omnibus bill by probably even tomorrow or Thursday. What, and you know, you wish, but you can't shut down government. You got to keep working.
$1 trillion?
By the time it's all said and tweaked, 1.2, 1.3.
I'd read a press release this morning, but it was a press release, and that's why I didn't give it all that credibility. I knew it was in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of arguments about this as well.
And let me tell you, there's certain things in there that have to be cured. We know that the tax reform, there was a problem with what our agricultural people will know is the 199 issue that basically gives a 20% help to, and it shouldn't, it was never the intent, to our co-ops that kind of take our private grain elevators and put them in a bad situation. We got to get that fixed in the Omni bill as well.
You know, there's a lot of things to talk about, but I've run out of time this morning because I've got I'm running a pretty tight schedule on Election Day, Mike, and I know you are very busy out in D.C., and I appreciate your time. Just quickly before I let you go, when you stand up on your tiptoes and you start looking towards the future, what are you seeing that we're not talking about you think our listeners should know in Southern Illinois?
Well, one thing is I hope and pray that, but of course, remember going into election year, you watch a lot of people pull them back. But I don't think we need pulling back on that, and that is the infrastructure bill. We have got to get busy on the infrastructure bill. We're pushing from our committee and transportation and infrastructure, but you know that's not the only committee of jurisdiction on that. But we've got to move forward, and that will put a lot of people back to work.